Call the Legislative Procedures and Arrangements Committee to order.
And Jim, will you take the roll?
Representatives Carlson.
Here.
Devlin.
Here.
Lock.
Here.
Onstead.
Here.
Vigasaw.
Here.
Senators Wardner.
Here.
Lackel. Heckman.
Here.
Holmberg.
Here.
Klein.
Here.
Schneider.
Here.
You received a copy of the minutes of the last meeting. Without any changes, we'll have a motion by Senator Wardner, second by Representative. Good for you. I'm so happy you're with us. Representative Mock has a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right, first order of business, review of responses received in the invitation to bid Legislative Assembly Photography Services.
Mr. Chairman, I have one item before we get into that. It's just, received yesterday a request by the Department of Trust Lands to use the House Chamber next summer and fall. May 5th, 2015, August 4th, 2015, and November 3rd, 2015. And this is a continuation of, you've approved those in the past. And it's always contingent upon the chamber being available and not used by the legislature. So we need a motion to approve that.
A motion for that?
So moved.
I have a motion by Senator Holmberg, a second by Representative Vigasaw. All those in favor, would you need a roll call?
Yeah.
We'll take a roll call vote.
Representatives Carlson.
Yes.
Devlin.
Yes.
Lock.
Yes.
Onstead.
Yes.
Vigasaw.
Yes.
Senators Wardner.
Yes.
Heckman.
Yes.
Holmberg.
Yes.
Klein.
Aye.
Schneider.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, motion carries.
Morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Everybody should have a simple, small spreadsheet inside of your binder. As you can see, there's bid letters were sent to 242 photographers. We received nine of those nine. One was after the bid deadline or after the opening, and one didn't meet the bid requirements. So of those, and one actually declined, Glasser Images, who actually did it last time. So of the six that are available, they are listed in lowest price to highest price. The lowest four are actually on the table up here if you wanted to look at any of the samples.
Yeah, those are all yours.
Wow, there's a slight difference in price.
Yes, sir. Would you like to
pass these around real quick? On the bottom left-hand corner of each one is the actual name of the studio, where they're from, and what their bid quote was.
Who was the company that used to do it? Last time was somebody different, I believe.
Mr. Chairman, before that, for a number of years, it was Anderson Photography from Crosby.
Oh, that's right.
And last time, it was Glaser from Bismarck.
They did bid again, I see.
Right.
Any comments, thoughts after reviewing them, Mr. Stickler?
I think if you look at the lowest one, Legacy Photography, and you'll see them as they come around, maybe the J&K portrait seems to be a little bit more striking, but that probably is personal preference. I'm sure a lot of it has to do with the background and the subject that they wanted to use for their example.
We'll just take a minute and look at these so we can do this piece of business and move forward. They all obviously had the same bid requirements, so everybody was required to do the same amount of stuff.
Correct, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jason, in some of these bids, are there any ancillary expenses that are included? I know some of them are from further away. I see Bales Photography from Grand Forks is a higher bid than Anderson Photography. Is there expenses included in that? Hotel, mileage, meals, anything of that nature?
No. Basically, what they did is they bid
just the proposals of the pictures, the collage, and et cetera.
Is it the same number of prints included with each side?
Correct.
The composites?
Possible retakes, you're correct, Representative Mock.
Okay. Editing services included in any of these?
I believe they can in all. Some of them wanted to be able to have an iPad available, and most of them wanted to have an iPad or a proof available at the time of taking the picture, so retakes could be done on the spot. Or if multiple pictures were taken, one could be selected to decrease that, but they all kind of had their own method for doing it. For the 2013 session, as you can see, you know, Glasser Images was accepted at a cost of $3,200, so the bottom two bids are fairly close to that.
I'm just amazed at the difference in the prices, from $2,200 to $26,500.
I think that's been a kind of a common theme in the last couple of bids. We've had quite the range.
Any thoughts now that you, Representative Mock and Ronstadt have had a chance to look at them as well? We can come back to this. I don't know if we'll have a different decision later if we don't remember them in front of us.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Senator Snyder.
How many sessions has Anderson, was it Anderson that did previously? How many sessions have they done these ones for us?
Oh, wow. I mean, they're the only people I ever remember prior to the switch. That's a long time. I mean, 20 years maybe.
I don't remember a lot of complaints with that. I do remember some complaints last session. I think for $200, paying for that experience is reasonable.
Well, I thought they did a nice job, and I tell you from my perspective, they were extremely cooperative. When you called up and you needed a proof for whatever, whether it be for the forum or for an article or for a national magazine, they would just snap it out to you like that, so you had that you could forward on in acceptable format so that it could be used in a magazine or whatever. But I was always impressed with the service they provided after they took our pictures. But that's me, so I...
Mr. Chairman?
Obviously, it's not the lowest bid. Right? I wonder how the one is so much lower than everything else. I just wonder how that is going to work out, but...
Mr. Chairman and committee, I agree with what has been said. They have been very good. They really provide a lot of service. I will have to say that I did like the J&K background and stuff, but I'm sure Anderson Photography, if we said we wanted a little different background, we could surely get that. But they've been really good to us over the years, and when you need something, after the fact, they provide it. So I've liked their service and their quality work. So I would move that we contract Anderson Photography.
Second by Senator Snyder. Any further discussion on that? We'll take the roll.
Representative Carlson.
Yes.
Devlin.
Yes.
Mock.
Yes.
Arnstead.
Yes.
Bigassaw.
Yes.
Senators Wardner.
Yes.
Heckerman.
Yes.
Holmberg.
Yes.
Klein.
Aye.
Schneider.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, the motion carries.
All right, next item on the agenda, review responses received on the invitation to bid for secretarial telephone, message, and bill and journal room services. Mr. Steckler.
Mr. Chairman, on that same spreadsheet with the photographer quotes, you can see on there that bid letters were sent to four staffing agencies. Only one actually replied, and that was Spherion. They replied with a bid of $577.60 per day for 3.5 employees. For the 2013 session, Spherion was accepted based on 4.5 employees at a rate of $507, but they ended up charging us $502. So in comparison, you can see the increase in cost of labor. Those employees back in 2013 were at 12 and 12 and a half for a supervisor, and in 2015 they're 14 and a half and 15 for a supervisor. But that was the only bid response we received.
I don't remember any, but were there any problems from their services provided last time? Was it good service? Or?
Mr. Chairman, I think it was pretty good service. They were good to work with in terms of adjusting schedules. You know, there's always a difficulty, especially recently, in recruiting staff, some staff turnover, but I think they did a pretty good job.
Well, it isn't like we have a lot of bids. Kind of like the construction world today. If you get lucky in some cases, if you get one bid, in some cases you don't get any.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I move we accept Varian's bid.
We have a motion to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Senator Wardner. Any further discussion? If not, we'll take a roll call vote.
Representatives Carlson?
Yes.
Devlin?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Armstead?
Yes.
Vegasaw?
Yes.
Senators Wardner,
yes.
Heckerman,
yes.
Holmberg,
yes.
Klein,
aye.
Schneider.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, the motion carries.
And again, the services are basically the same as last time. It's just they're bidding one less person, correct?
Right. And they're going to be co-located in the Bill and Journal area, so there should be some efficiencies from that as well, hopefully.
Okay. The next item, Mr. Knutson is going to talk about information relating to legislative compensation and other legislative budget issues, including potential funding for hosting the 2015 CSG Midwest Legislative Conference. Mr. Knutson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In your packet, the next four documents relate to legislative compensation. I'm going to spend most of the time going through the first document and the other information. I'll just touch on what's there, and that's really there for your information if you'd like to review it in additional detail. Starting with last session, the Legislative Procedures and Arrangements Committee did provide the input as far as the amounts that we would include in the budget request for legislative compensation. And previously, the Legislative Compensation Commission made recommendations, however, that was repealed in 2011, and since then, now the Legislative Procedures and Arrangements Committee has been providing that input. So this first page just kind of talks about where we're at now and what our recommendation to staff is as to what you might want to include in the budget for legislative compensation increases. So toward the top of the page are the current compensation levels. You can see each of the items for monthly pay, leader pay, daily session pay, interim pay, what lodging reimbursements are, mileage expense, and interim meals expenses as well. So the last number of bioniums, the legislature has provided legislative compensation increases at the same level as state employee salary increases. And because we won't know what those amounts are until during the session, and previous to that, the governor's recommendation indicates what his recommendation is for state employee salary increases. What we're proposing in that bottom section is to include in the budget request for the Legislative Assembly a 4% first year and 3% second year compensation increase for legislators. On the back page, there's a chart that shows what those adjustments would be. The monthly pay currently is $467 a month. 4% increase effective July 1, 2015 would go to 486, and then a 3% on July 1, 2016 would go to 501. The cost of that would be around $96,000, $97,000. The daily session pay and the interim pay currently is $167. That would go to $174 and $179. Cost of that for the session would be about $211,000, and during the interim, $35,000. And then the leader's additional monthly pay currently is $335. That would go to $348 and then $358. So the cost of that would be around $2,000. So the total of all those would be about $345,000 for the biennium if we were to include 4% first year, 3% second year adjustments. And then again, that would really just be the starting point. Depending on what you do during the session for state employee salaries, we anticipate that those amounts will be adjusted based on the actual that's included during the session. But we need some references to what we can include in the budget request. So before I conclude, just to touch on the other items that you have, the second document really just provides a lot more detail on legislative compensation. It talks about the history, going back, way back to statehood, on what legislative pay has been and different expense reimbursements, and additional compensation for leaders. It talks about the current rates, both for compensation as well as expenses. And then on the last couple pages, we show what the actual expenditures were for the 2011 regular session, which was about $5.9 million. And then what we've included at the bottom of page 7 for the budget for the 2015 session, as well as for the entire biennium. So that is there for your information. The next document compares legislative compensation increases to inflation in state employee salaries going back to 1981. The one item I'd like to point out in this one is the appendix on the back. It goes landscape on the page. This shows what legislative compensation was back in 1981, and then going all the way through 2014. You can see, interim daily compensation is now 167. The middle section indicates if those daily compensation rates in 1981, which were $62.50, were adjusted for inflation moving forward. The rate in 2014 would be $163 for interim compensation. Then on the far right, if those rates would have been adjusted based on what state employee salary increases would have been, what those amounts would be, and for interim pay would be $167. So just kind of going across the bottom, I talked about interim pay. The daily session pay would be is $167 based on inflation. It would be now at $235 based on state employee salaries increases. It would be at $241. The monthly compensation now is $467. If it would have been adjusted for inflation, it would be at $470, and if it would have been adjusted at state employee salary raises, it would have been at $482. So again, that's for your background and information on that. And then the last document is a fairly large report that has a number of tables that we have compiled from NCSL indicating what all states do as far as legislative compensation. I won't go through that. That's really there. There's just a number of tables. If there's a certain area that you're interested in, that provides you some information on that. So with that, Mr. Chairman, like I mentioned, our suggestion is to include a 4% and 3% annual increases for legislative compensation. I guess if there's any input from the committee, or if you'd like us to do something different, we can certainly make those changes.
Comments? I don't think anybody knows for sure what the governor is going to put in his proposal. I've heard 4 and 4 as an example. You know, so if that's the case, ours would be adjusted probably to follow that level, if that's what it was. As you remember, you did mention that we used to have the compensation committee, and that is no longer with us, so it kind of falls on us to make a recommendation so he can fill in the blanks for his legislative budget. I think the data shows that the numbers are pretty close to where they would have been had you just followed the pay raises along the way. A couple of them are a little low, a couple of them are pretty close to right on. But we need to make a recommendation. That would be the key recommendation to make, because lodging is set by an index, mileage is set by an index, so the only one we really need to address would be the compensation, correct? Monthly and
daily.
And daily. Yes, Senator Holmberg.
I would certainly agree we should put some numbers in here for budgetary purposes, with the understanding that we will be looking at giving the legislators the same pay raise that at the end of the day the legislators give the state employees. In other words, if we give the state employees 4 and 3, that's what we get, but if we give them 5 and 2, we will certainly look at that when this budget comes through.
I agree with that. I think it's just a recommendation on our part to have numbers for him to work with. Any questions, comments, concern?
Mr. Chairman, last week the State Employees Compensation Commission met, which is chaired by Pam Sharp and has 4 legislators. We moved forward a package I believe, a 4 and a 3, but it has all those other, you worked hard, you get another, and with a total package of $47 million of additional spending. So that's the number that was forwarded to the governor. So it does shake out to that 4 and 3.
I need a motion.
I move that we do 4 and 3.
And is, do you need a separate one for the daily?
No, it can all be as one.
Okay.
And just to clarify, we will also include the statutory changes in our appropriation bill to make those adjustments as well.
We have a motion. We have a second.
Second.
We have a second by Senator Klein. Any other discussion, comments, thoughts? We'll take the vote.
Representatives Carlson.
Yes.
Devlin.
Yes.
Mock.
Yes.
Onstead.
Yes.
Vigasaw.
Yes.
Senators Wardner.
Yes.
Heckerman.
Yes.
Holmberg.
Yes.
Klein.
Yes.
Schneider.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, the motion carries.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, then for the second part of the discussion in regard to the Midwestern Legislative Conference, and Senator Carlisle, I believe, is going to be presenting on that.
Senator Carlisle, the podium is yours. You have 30 seconds. I guess maybe a little longer than that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Been in several conversations with Senator Flackel, and as you know, we've got a huge conference with a huge potential coming here next July, and Senator Heckman, Senator Holmberg, and some of us were down in Omaha basically to lay some groundwork. We had a little reception for a couple hundred people. There'll be 10 states besides North Dakota, 4 provinces. I already talked to the Canadians. They're going to drive down because they really like North Dakota, and there's some potential for some folks like out at Medora to put together some packages on their own beforehand on Saturday and maybe Wednesday afterwards. But we're looking at raising a lot of money. We haven't had it in Bismarck for over 20 years. We had it in Fargo about 10, 12 years ago. Some of us were down there. The whole dynamic has changed. I had a lawmaker say, if we come up, are we going to have to follow oil trucks in Bismarck? And so there's some work to do. There's a lot of folks out west in the oil patch. We're going to try to put some things together for them. But what we're looking at right now, I got kind of appointed with Senator Flackel to raise some money, but we kind of feel that we would like to see legislative our budget put some money in, and there's a couple ways of doing it. If we don't use it, we deal it back in the general fund, but we've got a potential of 500 people, and say 100 of those are local lawmakers, but say there's 400, there's going to be a lot of players with potential. Could be governors, premiers, attorney generals, and as Senator Flackel noted, some folks maybe in Washington in some federal positions. So we have opportunity here to do it, and we're cash flowing. I just think we should do it right, and whatever a motion from this committee to put some money into the our council's budget, and we'll work from there. But I think it's pretty huge potential. We have a $52 million Heritage Center we're going to showcase one of the nights, and we're already checking what all can be done there, and perhaps Monday night out at Fort Abraham Lincoln, and then a state dinner. But it's all just some of the letters that normally go out to some of the players around the country. But then we're going to try to work, the committee I'm going to be working with, we're going to give them probably 3 businesses to contact, and some obviously will do more than others. But the potential's here to showcase North Dakota, especially since 2005 with all the oil development. So that's kind of where I'm at. I'm pretty fired up about it, and I think we can do really well.
There's a letter in your packet from, have you got a copy of that from Senator Flackel, where
yes,
he made
sir.
A formal request? It's right behind that big document that Mr. Knutson had. And the last sentence says, to have a premier North Dakota event, I believe we need state general fund support in the Legislative Assembly's budget. And I request the committee support by motion the inclusion of $350,000 in the budget as a starting point to be reduced by any funds raised by North Dakota fundraising team. Now, if I was a a total pessimist, I'd say, why would they raise any money when they know we put our $350 in? If that was, you know, you could look at it that way. On the other hand, I'd like to know, when we had the event in Fargo, what was the state's level of participation? And that was in 2005 or 2006?
12 years ago.
That was a while ago. Any, Mr. Smith?
Mr. Chairman, that was 2002 in Fargo. I think at that point, we had a pretty Spartan budget. I think the total budget was around $220,000. Senator Warden was the chair during that timeframe. I think the in-state funds that were raised was in the area of about $22,000. So it was pretty limited. I think in total, there was donations, including the out-of-state donors. And CSG does the out-of-state solicitation, but I think the total was around $133,000 of the $220,000. So it was, you know, different times. I think in Senator Flackel's letter, he talks about the last two events in St. Paul and Omaha. Their budgets were about $500,000. So that's kind of where the benchmark is in recent Midwest conferences.
Senator Warden, you've been involved in this before?
Well, one of the reasons it was set in Fargo last time was because we needed corporate sponsorship, and we made it. But you're right, it was not a lavish affair. We had to cut and stuff, but we got a lot of support from corporate sponsors from outside the state to make that up. And then it has always been something that the Legislative Council done, is that we've let as many North Dakotans attend to help support. That was kind of our way of supporting it, by allowing all members of the legislative body to attend if they wanted to. So it went off very well, and it was a bare bones budget, and we had to work hard to get the money.
Mr. Chairman, by way of comment too, we're looking at, with those 350, we're making a value bet, and some things may pay out better than others, but we think we're going to have the players here, and we worked down in Omaha, we worked that event pretty hard. All our people participated. Everybody was greeted when they came in. Senator Flackel had some neat little water things, and then we had a couple of prizes rather than for drawings, a bunch of little things. We had a couple suitcases with some really nifty stuff, and so we thought it went well, and if we're going to, here's a chance to showcase North Dakota with the new dynamic, i.e. cash flowing and oil out west and the ag economy. A lot of things, as Senator Warden said, a lot of things have changed in 10, 12 years, especially since 2005. So I guess my little thought, if somebody asked me about the money, you bet we're going to put up some money, and the state's going to have some skin in the game. And you're right, Mr. Chairman, if somebody says when I'm fundraising, heck, we're with it. We're putting our money in. We're, you know, there's some potential out there with the firms and businesses around this state that I think if we're going to do it, let's go big. That's my theory. Especially where we're not going to have opportunity in Bismarck again for 20 years, a minimum of 10, 12 years in Fargo. So there we are.
Representative Mock.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Carlisle, I have a couple questions. This figure, the $536,000, that includes the energy and ag tours, the proposed pre-conference tours?
That is, you probably have talked to Senator Flackel. He's been in contact with some folks to get, my understanding, some folks, each state picks out if there's going to be some people out in the patch, they're going to handle that, and he's been working on that, so I can't speak to that.
You're not sure if that figure, the cost of those tours, is included in that dollar amount? Okay.
Mr. Chairman. Smith has a comment.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, that number would be all-inclusive, including the energy and ag tours.
Perfect.
The day before the start of the actual Perfect. Conference.
And if I may continue, Senator Carr, and if anyone else has an answer, has the committee developed a fundraising schedule, knowing how many gifts of certain sizes need to be raised in order to reach the $356,000 amount?
We're just starting that, is Representative Mark and Mr. Chairman. We're, as Mr. Smith said, some formal letters go out, and by in the next month, we're going to send letters out encouraging people to put money, number one, the players that are going to come, put money in their budgets, you know, like for you and I when we travel. And then I will be working with this committee, and as I said, I'm going to try to get each person to work on three. Some are going to be bigger than others, but we're just starting the process, and Jim, wouldn't that be right? About the next 30 days, we're going to fire out some more letters.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, the CSG, as I mentioned, will do the fundraising for the national organizations, and they're committed to a minimum of $90,000 that they'll raise. And I think the last conversation was they expect that to be over $100,000 that they can raise. So.
And that's in that letter, too, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
So it's a starting, I guess, my little theory, you know, but from being asked, asked to go to Omaha, if we're going to do it right. And if we can, we don't need to spend it all. We certainly, you know, put in bill when in our council budget that if funds, you know, go back that. But I would like to have just a little comfort zone. If we're going to do something, let's do it. We're looking at some. Senator Flacco's working with some big-time speakers that everybody's going to look at. He's working on all that, and I'm strictly working the turf with some money, but Senator Flacco is, he's putting a lot of legwork already in on who's going to be here and tie up some folks in the work. It's going to cost us some money because some of the folks that come in, they charge some pretty hefty fees, but that's part of the freight. If we're going to do it for an attraction, that's what we want to do. And I don't know, Jim, is he, do we have any firm yet? I know he's talking to speakers.
Mr. Chairman, you know, we had a meeting last week in Bismarck, Senator Flacco. They're working with some major speakers. They mentioned Ken Burns and Clint Hill, a local individual that was with President Kennedy. So they've got some of those in the works, but they're surprisingly expensive.
Right.
What are the dues we pay to CSG as a state?
Got that?
You'll look it up. Mr. Chairman, when Jim mentioned Clint Hill, he was here in Bismarck. It was standing room only. It was really powerful because he was with the president when in 1963. So if we get him, we're going to need extra room because he is a powerful, powerful speaker. And, Mr. Chairman, you had asked about Ken Burns. He's national. Do you have his bio or anything on Mr. Burns?
Mr. Chairman, no, other than he's done the documentaries on various individuals, the current, you know, he did the one in baseball. I think everybody knows now he's doing the one on the Roosevelts. So.
The reason I asked, this is an interbranch. CSG is different than NCSL. All the branches are involved in this. Judicial, executive branches, they all pay dues into this. I'm not sure if they're expected to have any participation in this as well, or if it's just going to be the legislature that puts the $350,000 into the pot, because they'll be at the meetings and they'll be part of the whole process, the other two branches. I still, Mr. Knutson, do you have any idea what our dues are there?
Yeah, and the dues that the state pays to council state governments is $188,000 for the biennium.
For the biennium, $188,000 is our dues.
Mr. Chairman, that's to the national CSG.
Yep.
The Midwest, you know, they get some of that money, but the,
only we pay any separate dues to Midwest?
No, we do not. No.
I still, I think that I agree with Representative Carlisle about the showcase idea and bringing people, showing, putting our best foot forward. We're kind of in the national news everywhere you go. I have a little trouble putting in the right amount and then say we'll deduct if we raise any. That just goes against my capitalistic grain a little bit, saying why, what's the incentive to raise any money when it's already covered in the budget, because so if we raise $30,000, then I guess we pay $320,000. But whatever the will be here, we can take a motion for this. It has to go in the budget. It still obviously has to be approved by both chambers, and it has to go through the legislative process. Yeah, Senator Hickman.
Mr. Chairman, I guess I had a question. When you talked about all three branches and we put in 300 and some thousand, were you suggesting that some of that come out of another fund?
Well, I'm suggesting that they pay dues as well into CSG. I don't know what, maybe Pam is here, maybe she knows what the executive branch pays for CSG dues. and the judicial pays dues as well.
Mr. Chairman, the 188 is for all three.
So we pay for everybody, but they get to join.
It's actually an OMB's bill.
It's OMB's bill, it's in your budget, so we would, it wouldn't be in our budget.
Right, Mr. Chairman, you know, the state pays, but OMB's budget, they pay for all three branches.
Well, then, but if they pay for all three branches, why isn't it in their budget instead of ours?
Well, Mr. Chairman, the $350,000 that's being asked for here, that would be a part of our budget for the legislative conference that's for next summer, so that would be...
But it's not just a legislative conference, it's, everybody's invited, there'll be judges there, there'll be lieutenant governors there, there'll, everybody be there, right?
And, Mr. Chairman, you know, I think there is a distinction between the national group where the, there is more participation from the judicial and executive branch. They do call this conference the Midwestern Legislative Conference, and all the hosting is done by legislative groups. You know, I'm sure others are welcome to come, but the focus is on legislative matters, including the, you know, Midwest-Canadian relations and some of those common interests to the Midwestern legislative.
Any other comments? Now I'll take a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Warner?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to move that we go with the $350,000. I believe that the fundraisers are going to continue to work hard. I don't think they're going to try to leave it just beyond the state. I think their goal will be to eliminate it if they can, so we would pay the remainder. So if they raise $300,000, we'd have to throw in $50,000. So I move that.
We have a motion, is there a second?
Second.
There's a second by Representative Monstead. Any other discussion? Yes, Representative Bach.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I don't know how it was done in 2002. It sounds like the state paid about 10% of the total costs that came from state funds.
And Mr. Chairman, Representative Mock, what was done in 2002 is there wasn't a state appropriation earmarked for it, other than, you know, we had budgeted for around 110 participants from North Dakota, and they paid the registration fees, and that supported the conference.
So our participation was paying the legislators' fees?
Correct.
Okay.
And some of the ancillary costs as far as transportation, we had some state vehicles and some of that.
So do we pay per diem when people are at this conference as well, then?
And Mr. Chairman, that's...
We had 50 or 75 North Dakotans there, do we pay per diem as well?
Mr. Chairman, that's been the track record on attendance at conferences.
Okay.
Yep.
Any other thoughts, comments? We'll take a vote.
Representatives Carlson.
Oh, yes.
Devlin.
Yes.
Mock.
Yes.
Onstead.
Yes.
Legasaw.
Yes.
Senators Wardner.
Yes.
Heckerman.
Yes.
Lindbergh, excuse me.
Aye.
Klein.
Aye.
Schneider.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, the motion carries.
Another slam dunk. All right, now we have the discussion regarding, and I see our friend is here, Joel, Mr. Gilbertson, donation of a grand piano for Memorial Hall. I don't know who's going to, have you got any explanation of that before or prior to Mr. Gilbertson may make a comment, or Ms. Sharp?
Mr. Chairman.
Your presentation here.
Mr. Chairman, I think Pam is going to address it. I was just going to point out, I think in your binder, there's a document that speaks to the guidelines.
On displays in the Memorial Hall.
Mr. Chairman, and we feel this falls under that permanent display, so I think the committee, if they're going to move forward with this, would want to provide an exception to that, and that's just a point of discussion, but I think Ms. Sharp is ready to speak to the issue and where it's going to be, where the grand piano will be located and all of that.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, Pam Sharp with the Office of Management and Budget. And the issue before us is the fact that Mr. Joel Gilbertson has been generous enough to offer to donate a grand piano and to the state.
Does he come with the piano, or?
He has agreed to play it, yes. He does.
It's been a long time sitting up there, isn't it, buddy?
And we feel that the best place to showcase this piano would be the West Hall, the West End of Memorial Hall. And we do need, if you don't approve that, then we need to find another place to store the piano, and then we would have to bring it out every time it's used.
Way at the West End by the windows? Is that where we're talking?
Right, we're proposing way at the West End by the windows. And right now, that's, you know, there's nothing usually there.
Other than that, seems to be a place they love to store tables and chairs sometimes.
Exactly, yeah.
Real attractive.
So this probably would look better than tables and chairs. I think it's just extremely generous of Mr. Gilbertson to want to do this for the state. And I think he would be prepared to address your committee if you'd like to hear from him.
I guess my one question would be, the piano would need to be covered, I would think, most of the time. And I don't know, is there a cover that comes with it? Or?
Yeah, we'll have it covered, yes, yes.
Okay. Because otherwise it would be a real problem standing open all the time down there, I would think.
Yep.
Mr. Gilbertson, any comments?
Just a couple of things. First of all, I was just in thinking about it and kind of coming up with the idea. I've played for so many events for so many years here in the Capitol, for the legislative events as well as the executive branch, and I kind of came up with this idea that our Capitol, and for that matter every Capitol, deserves to have a grand piano to showcase all the talent we have. And so that's when I mentioned this to my wife, to Jan. I said, you know what, I think we should give a new grand piano to the state capitol. She said, I think that's a great idea, Joel. Let's do that. And so what we will be doing, however, to kind of get to the nuts and bolts of it all, is with the grand piano, it's a new Yamaha, and it will be set up on rollers so that it's easy to move around. That's one of the additions and the changes that we made. And the other thing is it's also important to have it covered, because who knows with how many legislators and lobbyists and how many cups of coffee that I know that spot in the back of the Memorial Hall pretty well, and so it will be covered and it will be protected. But it's kind of a thrill, and it also kind of, we figured it kind of ties into Happy Birthday North Dakota, so that's our birthday gift to North Dakota, and I think we'll be used for many, many years.
Well, thank you very much. The question would be, Mr. Smith, how do we have to change our, or make an exception to our rules when you look at the permanent displays in Memorial Hall? What do we have to address here, and are we the ones that address that?
Right, Mr. Chairman, those rules were adopted by legislative procedure and arrangements. Initially, they were passed to remove some of the clutter from that hallway, the permanent displays and some of that. I think all you need to do is to accept the gift and provide an exception to the provisions of the permanent displays there. I think the issue also is of who's going to insure it and who's going to maintain it. I think OMB is willing to do that, so that would be part of your motion as well, I would think.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. It will be insured under the policy that we have, and OMB will be responsible for making the arrangements for
the tuning.
The tuning,
like,
and OMB will be responsible for the tuning. Yes.
How often, Mr. Gilbertson, does a normal piano need to be tuned? Twice a year. We don't want you playing off-key up there, you know.
Mr. Chairman, there's another piano at the residence, and we would just have both pianos tuned at the same time.
All right, we need a motion that covers all of those various things, make an exception.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question first on the other piano. I don't know who. Where is that other piano stored, and how did that get here? Because I think that one's carried down into the Senate chamber for the memorial service, isn't it?
Oh, the one that you're talking about is the one, I believe, Legislative Council owns that piano. That is
Mr. Chairman, that's stored in the legislative lounge on the first floor off the Senate. It was purchased with state funds, legislative funds, 4 years ago. Not sure of the time frame.
Is it a regular piano or is it electric? It's a keyboard.
Yeah,
that's what I thought.
Mr. Chairman, the other piano I was talking about is a piano at the residence. Yep.
So, Senator Hickman, there used to be another piano, though, that Carolyn Nelson used to play it all the time, mm-hmm. and years ago, Alice Olson would play it, but that piano is gone, I believe. Is it not?
Pioneer Room?
Okay.
I'm not
So this would be, the exception would be for this, this being the only piano that would be allowed to be up in the Great Hall?
On a permanent basis.
On a permanent basis.
Okay.
But there will be pianos available for the cha-, for the memorial services and things. I think that was your question. What happens to the one that we use on the floor?
Okay.
And that, I believe last time, the electric one was used for both of them, wasn't it? And we just moved it from spot to spot. So we need a motion that covers the fact that it would change the language, allow the piano at the end of the Great Hall, and make sure that the insurance and maintenance is covered on the piano.
One more question.
Yes.
Is there any kind of stipulations on who can use this and when they could use it? I mean... Okay.
He's shaking his head. No, I'm assuming that if something gets scheduled that... Some of it, it could be whoever was capable of playing the thing.
Like a school choir coming in or something, we often have that, so, okay.
Yes, Mr. Gilbertson.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Senator, that's what it's for, is all school choirs, they will have a great piano to use. Yep.
That makes sense to me.
Okay, so I'll move.
We have a motion by Senator Heckman that listed all of those things. I hope somebody wrote them down. Is there a second?
Second.
Representative Devlin had a second. Any further discussion? Mr. Smith, we're assuming you're going to rewrite the, or you or Mr. Knutson, somebody will rewrite the language for the permanent displays.
Yeah, we'll provide an exception in there for this.
And our next meeting, we'll just look at it to make sure that that meets everybody's expectations of what we thought it was.
I guess my other question is, will there be a plaque on it designating who donated this? Because I think that might be appropriate.
Mr. Chairman, I believe that's appropriate too, and we can take care of that at OMB, and we'll work with Joel on that.
I think that is very appropriate.
I think we appreciate that very much. It would be a great addition to the Great Hall. So.
Yep. Any other discussion? Not, we'll take a vote.
Representatives Carlson.
Yes.
Devlin.
Yes.
Mock.
Yes.
Onstead.
Yes.
Bigassa.
Yes.
Senators Wardner.
Yes.
Heckman.
Yep.
Humberg.
Aye.
Klein.
Aye.
Schneider.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, the motion carries.
All right, we have other administrative matters. I'm assuming, Mr. Smith, a lot of these fall under your privy. Are they in...
Should be in sequence in your binder.
Yep.
The first order would be the organization session agenda. As you recall, the agenda, session scheduled for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, December 1st, 2nd.
One other thing before you leave the room, sir. Just for everybody's procedures and arraignments, Mr. Bull, why don't you come up here and we'll have a discussion about parking lots and how they're doing. You were hoping that you could sneak out the door, I know.
I didn't want to come this morning, Jim. I can give you a quick update on, what we call our four major projects. The north parking lot, that'll be done by the second week of November. We've had some really good dry, warm weather here. A lot of the curbing was done yesterday, so the asphalt will start going in later this week and then continue next week. The cafeteria, that's going to open Monday, October 13th. It'll be closed Friday the 10th to move everything down from the 18th floor. And then that hallway going down to the cafeteria, that'll also be done on October 10th. And open up again. That's been a tremendous improvement. And then we just finished yesterday with redoing all the brass in the House and Senate chambers. So if you go in there today, you'll see that it's just, I mean, remarkable what it looks like now compared to what it looked like just a month ago. So any other questions, Mr. Chairman?
No, but being a contractor, I always love to hear those dates because we made a living making updates.
Yeah, that's right. Weather permitting.
Weather permitting. There's always that disclaimer in there. And before, thank you very much. I just wanted to hear where we were at. And one other thing, I don't think we have Mr. Steckler on the agenda, but I think he's still here or not here. Give us a little update, make sure everything that was going to be done in the chambers is done before we move on to our next item. I know there was new microphones, and where are we at?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, the new sound systems are actually in. They've been tuned. New microphones are on the desk. We are ready to go. Just doing our regular session prep with voting systems and preparing for training.
So everything that we anticipated doing in the interim is complete?
Well, yes, that's exact. For the chambers, we are working in the Missouri River Room. That was one room that we designated to put an in-room sound system, very similar to what we have in here, just for the shape. It was always hard for people in the back to hear. We're partially completed with that, but the contract will be back in subsequent weeks to finish that.
Okay, so we're on schedule to have everything done?
Yes, sir.
All right. Any other questions about...
Okay, if I may, Mr. Chairman, because I was going to be brought up at the very end for one more thing.
One more thing? As long as we do the one, let's do the one more thing now.
Since we're talking about the chambers, as you know, when we pulled out all the old analog sound systems and we put in all the digital equipment inside of those rooms that are behind the rostrums, those rooms are kind of been storage rooms. There is no HVAC, there is no cooling, there is nothing in there. With the help of OMB, we monitored the temperatures in those rooms for about a week, week and a half, contacted the vendors, and we're probably on... right on the operating threshold of where this equipment should be sitting at temperature-wise. So we worked with facilities management to actually get a quote to install some heat pumps so we could actually have some cooling in those rooms so we don't damage our equipment. And the quote for the two rooms for both the House and the Senate where we keep this comes up to $21,656. That's for the heat pumps and the mechanical, electrical, and the building automation system controls. And I would make the request that we use legislative wing improvement money to basically protect our investment that we put into the chambers.
Well, it's pretty hard not to protect the part that we just put in there and watch that go to pot and then rebuild them again. Senator Holmberg?
Mr. Chairman, can I ask you, what was the end result cost-wise of our remodeling projects that we did up there to move the library and create the new offices?
I would have to let Alan or Jim speak to that, Senator Holmberg.
And Mr. Chairman, we haven't made the final payments on that yet, but it was in the neighborhood of about $378,000, and that includes some furniture as well.
And that was paid for by carryover, was it not?
Mr. Chairman, that was carryover in the legislative council budget, and that's separate from the legislative wing money that's used specifically for the legislative assembly and committee rooms.
Any of that money, carryover money left over?
Yes, there is. I don't have the exact amounts, but both budgets are in really good shape, which will help us down the road in terms of funding some of these other things.
And the $21,000 for the HVAC would be covered from our, we have money left over in our legislative improvement account from the other jobs that we did?
Correct, Mr. Chairman.
So we have the cash available in that improvements fund to cover that?
Yes, we do. Yep.
It's pretty hard to not do that because that, especially you know, all the equipment today is, especially computer type things, are so heat sensitive that if you don't get that properly monitored, you got a problem. It's the biggest problem I have in my office buildings is trying to deal with all the technology and keeping them cool in the right place because these servers are amazingly hot. So I look for a motion to approve that $21,000 to do that HVAC. Senator Klein made a motion. Representative Vigasau seconded. Any further discussion? We'll take a vote.
Representative Carlson.
Yes.
Devlin.
Yes.
Locke.
Yes.
Onstad.
Yes.
Vigasau.
Yes.
Senators Wardner.
Yes.
Heckerman.
Yes.
Holmberg.
Yes.
Klein.
Aye.
Snyder.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, the motion carries.
All right, now we'll go to discussion of other administrative matters. I'm sorry I sidetracked this a little bit, but it's always important we get an update on these projects that are going on around the Capitol. And we let Mr. Boyle off without any major wounds of any type. All right, Mr. Smith?
Mr. Chairman, the next several items deal with the organization session, and we can consider those in one motion. But first of all, the first item is the agenda for the organization session. And just to remind all of us that it begins Monday, December 1st. It's the first, second, third. The basic order of business, obviously, is to organize the legislature. And also, we provide significant training for new legislators and orientation. I think I'll just hit the high points and talk about some of the changes. Both chambers will convene at 1 o'clock on Monday, December 1st. That morning previous, we do have computer training and some orientation for new legislators in the Bernie Hogland Room. Good afternoon, you call yourselves to order. We distribute the packets. The oaths of office are administered. And then you go about your business of selection of seats and election of officers and that kind of thing. The afternoon also has additional computer training. The second day, you start at 9 o'clock. The key change here is there's a joint session at 9:10. Traditionally, that's been a report on the operations of the committees of legislative management. So that'll be the chairman of legislative management and myself. And we've merged into it the required statutory presentation on legislative ethics. That would be done in a joint session rather than done individually in both chambers. And that would be done by John Wellstead, Legal Division Director. And then there's remarks by all the leaders regarding legislative ethics. And again, that's a statutory requirement. And then there's additional training for new legislators and computer training and that kind of thing. The third day, you start a little bit earlier at 8:30. Rename your committees, adopt permanent rules, and break until 10 o'clock to receive the governor's budget message. And that's scheduled at 10 o'clock till 10:45. And 11 o'clock, as traditionally has been done, the budget section would convene in the Senate chamber to discuss or hear details of the governor's budget. And at that same time, there'd be additional training for legislators in terms of laptops and tablets. So, Mr. Chairman, that is the agenda. The key change was the merging of the ethics presentation with the reports from legislative management. And one item I forgot to mention was we've removed the presentation on uniform laws. Commission. The thinking there, in talking to the chairman of legislative management, is that most of those bills go to the judiciary committees. So what we would propose is that there be a joint hearing of the two standing judiciary committees the first full week of the session to receive the report on Uniform Laws Commission.
I almost had tears in my eyes there for a second.
Notice who will get the phone calls, but that's no problem. Jim alluded to, we went back and looked, and last session, I believe, all of the bills that came through the commission went to the respective judiciary committees. It just made sense that they could have a dialogue rather than just have someone up there speaking to 140 some legislators, that they could have the committees that are actually going to look at those bills ask questions and get a much more thorough review of the laws that come from the Uniform Commission.
Very well put, Senator. Mr. Smith, one more time. The council reports are what dates again?
Mr. Chairman, they are the morning of the second day, Tuesday. It should be on the third page.
No, the council reports when we have our
oh, I'm sorry. Mr. Chairman,
that November sometime.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, it's 12th and 13th of November. I think it's a Wednesday and Thursday. And we'll be working, preparing those final reports and the bill drafts and working on that agenda. We'll work
all
with the chairman.
Reports,
yep.
Sorry.
Which set of management reports. Yep.
All right. So do we need to approve these as we go through them?
Mr. Chairman, I think there's several of them that relate to the organization session. We can take those up all in one motion if you'd like to.
Group them all together, and then we'll take a motion when you tell us you're ready.
The next document, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, should be the computer training sessions for legislators. Hopefully. And it's also covered in the organization session. Those comply. But this basically just summarizes it. As I indicated, we provide training for returning legislators that Monday morning. New legislators get their computers in the afternoon on Monday, and then there's training Tuesday and Wednesday as well. And we'll have sign-up sheets at the Legislative Council office to facilitate that. And we'll be communicating to all legislators after the election regarding this schedule and when they can get their computers and that kind of thing. So that is really just for your information. The next item is a tentative agenda for training for legislative employees. And this is similar to what we've done in the past. A lot of these positions require some training, you know, before the start of a regular session. So we do that between the organization session and January 6th. It includes, you know, the desk force, as well as the committee clerks, and we also have training for the interns in this package. And all of that gets done, you know, prior to the start of the regular session. And again, that's for your information as well. So we need a motion on those items. There's, relating to the last memo, we do need a couple individuals to be designated to begin the hiring process for session employees. Usually it's one from the House and one from the Senate.
I have those names for you already.
You do?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Did you want us to or not?
No, I just need to know who they are. So.
Okay, well, we're talking about it here.
Okay. So I can get that. But as point of business, we'd need a motion to, you know, accept the organization session agenda, the computer training, and the training for those key legislative employees.
Before we take that motion, Representative Carlisle's waving back there. What do you have that you would like to speak about, Representative Carlisle?
Mr. Chairman, I'll still be a senator, but it's okay.
Oh, that's right, Senator Carlisle. Why? If 20 years of experience is hard to just knock off.
It's okay. Anyway, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I've been involved in both sides of this, picking up a couple people to screen employment applications, and it's getting more complicated depending on who we have coming back. And Representative Thorson and I were just talking, if there's a committee clerk that's coming back, you got to let these folks know, you know, and especially if the chairman's happy with them. I think they may have even upped some pay on some of the folks, but as sessions, I had the luxury of being in 18 years out, 4 years and back in. They're getting more complicated, and you got to have good help. All of us know you got to have a committee clerk you can count on. So I think that thing is that's a good piece to put in there. I just wanted to comment because I've done it. So thanks.
On as far as the last time Representative Martinson dealt with it, it's nice to have somebody in town that works on that employment committee. It's very difficult to try and do it from afar. They actually sit down and talk with a lot of these people, and they're in touch with the leaders if they have somebody they recommend so that they can fill out the their staffs and Sergeant of Arms and all those things. And I believe you said Senator Dever was from the Senate side. So, Mr. Smith, those would be the two designees. I've already talked to Representative Martinson. I'm assuming that Senator Warden has talked to Senator Dever.
We have.
And so I believe you could use those two names. I'm sure Representative Senator Carlisle would be available to help if need be, because it helps to have people right in town to try and do that. They know these people, and we'll try and hire back as many as we can, because we all know how important those staff people are. So we need a motion to approve the schedule for the organizational session, the computer training sessions, and the orientation and training for certain employees, correct?
Correct.
And I have a motion to that effect. Representative Devlin, there a second? Senator Heckerman, further discussion? If not, we'll take a vote.
Representatives Carlson.
Yes.
Devlin.
Yes.
Mock.
Yes.
Onstead.
Yes.
Vigasaw.
Yes.
Senators Wardner.
Yes.
Heckerman.
Yes.
Holmberg. Klein.
Aye.
Schneider.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, the motion carries.
All right, so we have those items, and we've given you the names of the people for screening.
Yep.
Policy on the use of computers by legislators. That's another information piece in your folder. Mr. Smith?
Mr. Chairman, this is a policy that we update every 2 years. I think Kyle Forster worked on this. I think basically the only change related to the policy for paying, you know, the legislators a monthly stipend rather than what we were doing previously. So I think it was adjusted to accommodate that. I don't know if there's any other comments. You know, basically it's...
That is the $90 deal?
Right.
Any comments from staff on how that's been working? Any major complaints or... As long as my wife gets some money, she's happy because she pays the bill.
They should, Mr. Chairman.
And they should do like Verizon and send out 13 of them every year, because I swear Verizon bill is 3 weeks. They're months. I'm sure there's an extra payment in there.
Well, that's how you can keep your rates down, just charge them off.
So, Mr. Chairman, we should have a motion if the committee's agreeable to that. There's no surprises in there.
That's all the same language as before, is it not?
Yeah, just other than the changes to accommodate the stipend rather than what we were doing previously.
Well, I think that made life a lot easier for everybody. I see a lot of heads shaking up and down here in the back, so.
And just so you're aware, I think at this point we're planning the next biennium would just continue that $90 stipend. We haven't, you know, talked about increasing that, but that could be a decision point for the legislature.
Maybe we'll do a little checking amongst our members ourselves and find out what the average bills are out there that people are getting, you know, to get those services. I think you just have to, there's 100 plans at least that you can get. So we'll try, and if there has to be a happy medium that's a little different than that, we'll take a look at it. But I want to find out what our guys are paying for stuff. So I need a motion to approve that policy. We have a motion by Senator Holmberg. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Vigasaw. Any other discussion? I'll take a vote.
Representative Carlson.
Yes.
Devlin.
Yes.
Nock.
Yes.
Onstead.
Yes.
Vigasaw.
Yes.
Senators Wardner.
Aye.
Heckerman.
Yes.
Holmberg.
Aye.
Klein.
Aye.
Schneider.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, the motion carries. Mr. Chairman, the next document relates to the policy regarding use of secretarial services, and this relates to the contract with Spherion. Again, there's no changes here. There are some restrictions on work projects that are permissible, and basically that's just limiting the large mail merges and that kind of thing, and those are permissible with the approval of the respective leader. It talks about turnaround time, that kind of thing. I think the utilization of the secretarial services has been reduced over time, and that's reflected in the number of employees in that contract. Also, there's a reduction in the, you know, telephone calls and that thing with email and some of that contact. But this is a policy that we referenced during the session. If issues should arise, you know, it does talk about a procedure for any comments or complaints, and that would go to the on-site supervisor that's employed by Spherion. Generally, there's not a lot of problems, but we just work through those as they come up. But this would be the policy that we would have in place that we would reference if there were any issues. So,
as far as printers and everything that's in the offices and available for, has there been any upgrade or any changes in that? Because there were times that they weren't the best of equipment.
Chairman Carlson, as far as the clerks and the clerk areas and the bill and journal room, we did do a new purchase order. We'll have brand new copiers and printers in. We did also put in new multifunction print devices in the leadership offices. You have color printers that are networked and also be able to scan and fax on those same devices.
That would be nice, because
the clerks,
it was not possible before.
Yeah, it'll be better. And we have new printers for all the clerks, too.
Well, we've gone, and that's important, because instead of having everything run off and sitting down there and shredding it later, we can run off stuff as we need it. So we've really, that's been our move, the phase we're moving to, so it's important that that's good stuff for us. And I think it also, in the end, saves time and paper over running all these copies of everything sitting downstairs, so. Very good.
While I'm up here, I do have one other statement.
Yep.
As far as improvements for the legislative side, we did acquire Polycom units that we installed one for video conferencing in the Doctor of the Day conference room.
What does that mean,
Polycom? Basically, if you wanted to do a video call with somebody in higher ed or another facility that's part of the state government, or even somebody that's not part of state government, we could set up a point-to-point video conference. So that room would be available to do that from, and we also did the same thing in the Legislative Council's conference room. So if that's something you ever need to do and you want to join a video call that you know is going on, we have the facility now within our own offices that you could participate.
I notice, and probably NCSL more than anything else, but they have a lot of video calls that you can join in on as committees. And, you know, I don't think most of the time we participated in those, but this would allow us to do that.
We can look into that and see if that'll help out there.
Okay. Anything else?
As far as the other two things that we've done for our IT systems, for our Legend drafting system, we do now have disaster recovery set up for that. So we are now hosting our test servers over in ITD's disaster recovery site in Mandan. So if there would be something would happen to the data center here at the Capitol, we could bring up our drafting systems over in Mandan.
That's a good idea.
The other thing that we've done is administrative code used to be maintained in an old IT system. That has now been moved and migrated into our new drafting system that we implemented in 2011. That's now in production. So.
Very good.
That's it. Thank you.
We've made amazing changes here in the last 3-4 years of the way we produce our information and back it up. It's really, I think it's a real plus. We bit the bullet and we had one little bad experience a few years back and we found the right company, and Propelon did a good job in my opinion for us, and our money was well spent. Secretarial services.
Need a motion, Mr. Chairman.
We need a motion for that. Senator Klein, second by Senator Wardner.
Yes, I
take the vote.
Representatives Carlson.
Yes.
Devlin.
Yes.
Mock.
Yes.
Onstead.
Yes.
Legasaw.
Yes.
Senators Wardner.
Yes.
Heckerman.
Yes.
Holmberg.
Aye.
Klein.
Aye.
Schneider.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, motion carries.
All right, legislative stationery.
Then, Mr. Chairman, as you recall, prior to last session, we distributed paper stationery to all legislators. This committee, during the last interim, decided just to use a template and use the computer kind of thing. And from my understanding, that worked, fairly well. I guess you guys can speak to how well that worked. But the question before you would be whether you just want to continue that policy or if you want to go back to the paper printing and that kind of thing. And what we found, prior to the 2013 session, was a lot of that stationery was left in the secretarial service area, was never used and was just thrown away. So, but the decision before the committee is if you want to continue the policy of just providing stationery templates for to individual legislators.
Well, it makes sense to me. I still have stationery from 99. Representative Mock.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jim, did any legislator request stationery last session?
Mr. Chairman, I think there might have been one or two. Lori can maybe help me. I think there's at least one House member that comes to mind. We just printed it on ours.
Just printed
it
in house?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's so much easier with that letterhead just to pop it up and do your thing on the computer that... We have a motion to keep our policy the same as we had it. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Senator Holmberg. Take a vote.
Representatives Carlson.
Yes.
Devlin.
Yes.
Mock.
Yes.
Onstead.
Yes.
Legasaw.
Yes.
Senators Wardner.
Yes.
Heckerman.
Yes.
Holmberg.
Yes.
Klein.
Aye.
Schneider.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, the motion carries. Now, Mr. Chairman, the next order of business is brief bags. As you can recall from previous sessions, I think going back to 1984, we've provided brief bags to legislators. Generally, they had the seal embossed. We've been trying to improve that each time at a little additional cost. This time, we've got two new bags that we've found. And basically, either of those comes in, the saddle color or the darker brown. They are more expensive, but they're probably going to last longer, so maybe we'll get 4 years out of them rather than two. What we can do with those is we can emboss the great seal on the side of it, and as far as the legislator identification, that would be through the name tag. We found with some of the other ones, it basically wears off the side of the bags.
On the way on mine.
And we've heard complaints about the bags not being durable and that kind of thing. And now, these are more expensive.
We don't have the one from last session.
This is what I went and bought, just because the other one was just a piece of junk to carry around, the flap and stuff, and the name was gone right away, so I bought a different one, because everywhere you go, you got to carry stuff with you, so I think we need to upgrade those a little bit. There you are.
And Mr. Chairman, just further information on that. At the organization session, in the packets that you received, we have a form in there. If legislators want to receive a new brief bag, whatever you were to approve today, they'd have that opportunity to order that.
What are we talking for costs here?
And Mr. Chairman, on an individual basis, I think that the current bags were around $50 a piece. Mm-hmm. These two new bags, and Lori can help me as to which one's which, but I think the brown one here is the cheaper one.
Is that right?
They're about $133 per unit. The other one is more expensive at about $168 per unit. But again, I think rather than replacing them every 2 years, perhaps we can get 4 years out of those. But they're quality bags. I think we've got a unit discount for ordering a large number. And the embossing on there, that's just an example. We're not going to get the Texas logo on there.
If we have bison on there, I wouldn't feel too bad. I'd especially want it on Representative Mock's bag.
Mr. Chairman?
He might walk around with it carried towards his inside all the time, but yeah. I think we need to upgrade those. Last time was an upgrade, and then this time I think we just need to get them to last a little longer.
Mr. Chairman, if I could, I had some complaints even before the bison talk, but they're a little small. The Bertha-type computers that we get don't fit into these bags. Is that a concern of anybody else?
I don't carry that personally. I carry the iPad with me,
yeah.
And it's perfect for that. And I think most legislators I've seen are not carrying their big computer. You know, you do,
yeah.
And maybe there's others like you. But on the other hand, they get really big when you make them to fit that, to carry around with you.
Okay. All right. I'll withdraw my comments. Except
all right. No, I do understand that, but I think you wanted the exception instead of the rule as to carrying the big computer.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I've actually gone back to the older cloth one because I think it's more durable, and it seems like it's a little larger. The darker one there seems a little bit smaller. I'm not sure if I'm looking at it wrong or I didn't try to get stuff in it, but it doesn't seem as large as... This is the old cloth one you had in... I don't know what year that was.
2011?
2011? Yeah, probably.
I like the brown one myself, but that's just my prejudice. I think it's just a more durable, last longer type of bag. But yeah, the light brown one. And it would be close for his computer, but it might be a little tight. That one's just a little bit bigger than the other one, so.
And if we want it,
is this correct? If we want it, we could have it in black, or is it?
Mr. Chairman, I think our hope would be that you'd pick one standard one so that we could probably get that pricing.
But they are available in either.
Yeah, your choice could. Either bag, either color kind of thing.
I agree with Senator Heckman. I think that other one is smaller. That one on top is a smaller bag when it's all done. But any thoughts? We need to make a decision so that they can have this set up for people to order as... Is that Representative Mock?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And if the theoretical intention is to use this bag for the next 4 years, is this version been in style? I mean, will that be available in 2 years for a reorder, or are we running the risk of having a discontinued model, or is legislative council's intention to order enough to accommodate for even turnover over the next two election cycles?
Well, we do this every
every session we've had this opportunity, correct?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I was just trying to make a sales pitch for a durable bag that might last longer. You know, we'll order them again in 2 years. And the other part of it is we'll probably order some extra this time to accommodate, you know, any that get damaged or whatever, but...
Under order?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'd move the larger brown bag. The only thing is, I kind of like black, but that's not something I would get hung up on. I don't know what the rest of the group like, but the bigger brown bag was the one I would like, or I think we should go, so I would...
Have a motion?
I would move that.
Motion for the larger, the lighter brown bag. Is there a second? Representative Mock. Take a vote.
Representatives Carlson.
Yes.
Devlin.
Yes.
Mock.
Yes.
Olmstead.
Yes.
Vegasau.
Yes.
Senators Wardner.
Yes.
Heckman.
Yes.
Holmberg.
Aye.
Klein.
Aye.
Schneider.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, the motion carries.
Mr. Smith, I noticed we have some drafts in the back here for some rule changes. Is that something we need to address today?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I was just going to address that last issue. I believe the next two documents in your binder would be the summary of rule changes that this committee has adopted to date that will go to the Rules Committee that meets at the organization session. The one document is the House Rules that have been recommended for change. And the second document is the Senate rules recommended by this committee for change. Again, that's just summarizing. They're on individual pages before. And it's just really for your information. It's a recap of what you've already approved.
We've already approved these.
Right, for the House and Senate. Now, you do have a third document, a draft of a proposed rule change that was prepared by the staff for Senator Flackle. I think he maybe contacted Senator Wardner about the possibility of the committee considering that rule change. It's regarding the reading of speeches on the floor, and it's a Senate rule change. Excuse me, it's both Senate and House, but the current rules have an objection to reading of papers, and his intent, I believe, is to recognize the current practice to allow a member to read a written speech.
Their speech? Reading somebody else's document.
Well, it says may read a written speech. This was the implication. Could be that it's their speech. They take ownership of it. But who actually drafted it? It doesn't speak to that part of it. But I think his thinking, and maybe Senator Wardner wants to speak to it, but his thinking that what he expressed to me was, you know, with the video capture, it's better to have a focused kind of presentation than a lengthy dissertation on the floor. But I would just leave that to Senator Wardner if you have any comments.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, that was his concern. He said, you know, we are reading our talks on the floor, our positions now, and it's kind of legalizing what we're doing. I do think that if you're going to read something from someone else, you should ask permission for that. That should be in there. I mean, if I'm going to repeat something that I'm going to quote from a person that's lengthy, I think that you need to ask permission. But the idea was that we're just legalizing what we're doing now, and that his feelings was it's not really an issue because now with the video and stuff like that, people try to get in, make their points, and be done, and they're not going to go on and on. So that's kind of the thinking.
Representative Mock?
Well, Mr. Chairman, and actually just reading lines 3 and 7, other than the member's speech, I don't know if that clarifies that the intention is that you can only read essentially your prepared speech and not any prepared speech. I don't know if that answers that question or not.
Mr. Chairman, I read that as the objection cannot be to the member's speech. It could be to something else that the member would read. Let's say that I'm taking out of another magazine or something and reading on the floor. We have an opportunity to object to that. but we don't have an opportunity to object to the presentation for that bill that the member's doing, is what I'm gathering.
It's written very difficult. It leaves a lot for interpretation. I understand what he means. I'm not so sure I'm... That can be brought up in our rules, but it'd have to be a joint rule, or...
Mr. Chairman, it's the current...
There's one for each chamber right here.
It's Rule 358 in both the House and Senate.
Yep. Do we need to do anything with this, or...
It's the committee's wish.
Well, we forward it on to the respective rules committees for their approval, correct?
That would be the option if you wanted to endorse it. Otherwise, Senator Flackel would have to take it to the rules committee.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I would like to see it cleaned up so that it's so that we can there's no misunderstanding.
To me, it's so vague, I'd have trouble supporting it today because I couldn't tell you if he's reading his own or if he's reading something that was done in the floor of the House of Representatives and Congress, and whether I have to whether I could or could not object to that. I just think it's vaguely written, but
Mr. Chairman, we'll work with Senator Flackel and get it ready for the organization session.
Because there are obviously legislators who write their floor speeches and read them, and they're addressing the particular bill, and that's perfectly legal. But when he starts somebody else's quotes, then I don't know. So I think that needs to be worked on a little bit before we move it forward. Is there anything else, Mr. Smith?
Mr. Chairman, one item, just kind of an announcement. You know, we talked about the changes made in the chambers, and one of those was a replacement of the sound systems in both the House and the Senate, including the microphones that are on the member desks. So the question came up, what about the old microphones? And what we did is we kept those, and we're planning to make those available to legislators if anyone would want one of the old microphones. And I guess that's an individual choice, and we'll identify a process. Maybe we'll do it at a legislative management meeting where, you know, current legislators can pick up a microphone if they wish. Just kind of an informational thing. We view those as basically scrap, so they're not surplus property or anything. And I communicated that to Pam Sharp to see if they had any issues. I haven't heard back from her that they would, but basically they have no value or any use for anyone else other than a memento.
Mark? Thank you. Jim, have any of those units been donated to the Historical Society, to the Heritage Center?
No, we have not. Well, we could do that.
It's not a bad idea, though.
I think we should. I mean, at least a few.
I would hope the spittoons are still over there. They got those from the old days, and the ashtrays that sat on the desks and all those good things. Mr. Walstead. Why don't you come to the podium, and you have a new position since we last saw you, and if you want to explain to us what your new title is and what you'll be doing for us during the upcoming session, I'd like to hear it.
Well, Mr. Chairman and committee members, I am the latest version of legal division director. Mr. Beringrude retired, took with him 2 years of experience, and so I'm trying to learn everything Jay knew when he left. So I still have a ways to go.
And you have you're training a new person on the tax side for your former duties?
I am, and I'm pleased to say that Emily Thompson is the new attorney on our staff. Emily worked for the tax department through 2 legislative sessions, so she's got a pretty good idea of the carnage that goes on here and all the amending and all those things, and she's really coming along nicely, and I'm afraid she's going to put me to shame before long.
Well, very good. Congratulations on your new position.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it much, and doesn't mean you can't talk to me anymore. I'm still glad to talk to legislators. That's my favorite part of what I've always done. So if you have requests for bills or whatever, let me know.
Very good. Thank you. Anything else for the good of the order, James?
Mr. Chairman, that concludes the work of the committee. The next step would be the preparation of of the rules that you've seen today and the final report for the Legislative Management Committee meeting on November 12th and 13th. So we probably need a motion to adjourn sine die and to have the staff prepare that final report.
Do we have such a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Senator Holmberg. Is there a second? Representative Mock. We have the report prepared. Need a roll call vote?
Might as well. Representative Carlson.
Yes.
Devlin.
Yes.
Mock.
Yes.
Arnstead.
Yes.
Figasaw.
Yes.
Senators Wardner.
Yes.
Heckerman.
Yes.
Holmberg.
Aye.
Klein.
Aye.
Schneider.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, the motion carries.
Now we know where we have to head. What time does that start?
9:30.
It started at 9:30?
Yeah, right on schedule.
What's the opening days of the